Go ahead, brother.
Isaiah chapter 40. The way you turn there, everybody find Isaiah 40. I just want to remind you, I keep praying for revival down at Liberty, in the town of Liberty. Their address is Liberty. I can't think of the name of that church. What is it? Rolling Creek? Golden. Golden Creek. All right, Golden Creek Baptist Church. They're in revival. God's blessing, and some folks sharing again last night with us about that. We praise God for it. And I pray it gets on so heavy and some good gets to going, some of it blows up this way. Amen. I'm always glad to hear God moving, God stirring, God blessing, God helping. That's a joy. And I praise God for it. Isaiah chapter 40. And let's look at verse number, well, we'll start at verse 28. Let's stand, please, while I read the word of God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of him, no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, praise God for that, amen. Conjunction put in there, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray and ask God to help us. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege we have to open the Word of God and endeavor to share from this precious Word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and the hearts of this people. Lord, thank you for the singing of the songs, and thank you, Lord, that we can know we're saved. And thank you for that assurance that you are on the throne, that you are in control. And Father, that we can depend upon you fully, totally. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bless God, these testimonies being given and giving you praise. I thank you for that. And I pray God today that everybody that's saved in the house of God will rejoice over the fact that we know that we're saved. Help us, God, to let that light shine and others may see and know and desire that salvation. I pray for those in the house of God today that are not saved. They do not know Jesus Christ personally as their Lord and their Savior. I pray the Holy Spirit speak to their heart, bring real conviction, draw them by your power. And I pray they can yield their lives and God trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Today they may leave the house of God saying, I know that I'm saved. I pray God you'd help them. Then Father, the preaching of the Word of God, we need you. I pray for that anointing power. I pray for a touch of God. I plead the blood. I plead Jesus today. Confess the devil defeated. Jesus Christ is victor. And in this service, Lord, we commend it to you and realize, God, it's your service. And I pray your will be accomplished in it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Wait on the Lord. We're picking up on that subject today and see how we go with that. And I pray that God will take us today and help us as we try to share some thoughts with you and that God may speak to our hearts together. If you look at verse number 29, it said, he giveth power to the faint. I think everybody here would say, if you're saved, been saved any length of time, that we need power. And let me say immediately, we do need the power of God in the service. We need God's touch, God's power. We need that divine move of God that only God can do and nobody else can. Look at verse number 27. I didn't read that verse in the text, but look at it. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God. There you see a note of discouragement and dismay in that verse. But really what's happening here, they're reaping what they've sown. Look in Isaiah chapter 39 and verse number 6. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which the fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Judgment had come. God is sending judgment and a crying. Now look in chapter 40 and verse number 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Now God in the midst of all the discouragement and all that's happened and God's judgment and what's coming, that God still cries for the comfort for his people. Look at the strength again. I mentioned about that power a while ago in verse 29. But look in verse number 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. His work is before him. He comes with a strong hand. He also comes with gentle hands. Look in verse number 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with the young. He's saying here that he's a strong God. He has a power, but he's also gentle and kind and loving and caring enough to help his people. And so you see all that coming. Somebody made a statement, and I'm quoting this best I can remember it, and said in an immoral atmosphere that it's difficult for a spiritual man to breathe. And I thought that was pretty good. In an immoral atmosphere, it's difficult for a spiritual man to breathe. And that stuck in my heart as I thought about that and what they've been going through here in the land that I'm reading about. And of course, we apply it to our life today. And it's an immoral situation atmosphere that we find ourselves living in, and difficult to breathe spiritually sometimes. But I'm glad, thank God, they still power that God gives, and he still gently helps those that love him and care about him, and God still does what he said he'd do and still helping. Amen. And in the book of 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, and Paul writing there says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to ask anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We're not sufficient ourselves. It's only God's sufficiency. And I'm glad that I realize that fact, because I need to know that. In particular, I need to know that. You need to know that. It is God sufficient for every need that we have. As we look here in Isaiah, as looking at God being strong and God being able to help us and God being gentle and God doing what he's doing. And in verse 31 of our text, says, but they that wait upon the Lord. Now we're going to look at this, and I don't know how far I get beyond the introduction, in fact, but that word wait. And you remember when we looked last week at the word that we was thinking about watch, and we said watch, and we talked about that. And the word wait can kind of correspond with that in the sense that it's not just sitting down doing nothing as you wait. It's not that kind of idle waiting. But it's waiting with expectation and waiting for something to happen. I was thinking about that word watch, and we're talking about watching for the coming of the Lord. It wasn't just a fact of just gazing up in the sky and doing nothing and watching like that. But it's watching with expectation and watching for the deceitfulness of Satan and how Satan comes in, the devil deceives and sidetracks and gets you diverted from the main thing. It's not just always looking for that, the devil and everything that he's doing, but it's looking and expecting God to help you overcome those things and overcome the temptation and those things that come in your life. Looking, watching for sinners and not just sitting down saying, well, there's a sinner, there's a sinner, there's a sinner, but it's doing something about that. It's carrying the gospel to them, being involved in trying to get them to come to know Jesus Christ. Now, this word wait. And as we deal with that, it's kind of in that same context of expectation, wait. And you remember Acts 1:4 said, wait for that promise. And there's three things I noticed about those disciples as they waited for that promise. And God said, Jesus had promised in John 16. He said, if I go away, I'll send the Comforter back to you. He said, I will send him. And they were to wait for the power to witness. In fact, it is in Acts 1:8, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He's saying, now wait. And sometimes waiting is not easy. And sometimes that, I don't know about you, but I get impatient. I sometimes get, I want to outrun God. But we should always remember we don't want to outrun God. We don't want to run behind God, but we want to run with God. And in this verse, it talks about running, talks about soaring, it talks about walking. And we'll try to get to that. But right now, I'm trying to deal with this word wait. And God had said, wait for that power to come, wait for that time. They proved to God they wanted it. In the upper room, they waited. Now, while they waited, here's another key factor. While they waited for the power, they were not praying. They were not praying for the Holy Ghost to come. He was coming by divine promise. He came right on time. It wasn't a matter that they prayed him down. It's not a matter that they knocked on heaven's door until God heard and sent the power. It was a matter that they knew that God had promised it, and then they were there in expectation and waiting for him to come, and they were praying, getting themselves in the place where God could use them when he got there. I believe Thomas is over there praying, saying, Lord, I doubted you, now help me by faith to believe and trust. And Peter might have been over there saying, Lord, I denied you before. I denied even you. I want you to help me now. And as the power comes, help me be the strength I ought to be, and help me stand in that power that I need to do what I need to do. He was praying for that. I believe those in the upper room were, and individually, whatever their situation was, they were praying as they waited. And I say today, as we wait, and I mentioned that revival they were talking about, and we talked about that last night, and how we'd love to see that. And while we wait for that in our church, and I am waiting for it. And you say, preacher, do you believe it'll come? I believe that our God will still do as much for us as he's ever done and more. I still believe it's yet to be seen what God can and will do. But I do believe he's looking for somebody that will wait for him and move in his direction and let God do that. God chose fit. Those people down there wanted something. God chose fit to give it to them. I say hallelujah and praise God, pour it on. Amen. I hope it gets better and better and better and runs over and runs over. And hallelujah, we can even hear them shout up here. I praise God for that. But you say, preacher, do you want to see that? I do. And do you long to see that? I do. But I cannot make that happen. A preacher can't make that happen. It's only God that sees fit and moves in a certain place at a certain time, at his own time and in his own will, for his own glory. And so I want to wait as God would have me to wait, but I don't want to run behind. I don't want to lack doing what I need to be doing while I'm waiting. I want to stay with God and let God do what he wants to do. But they were waiting, but while they waited, they prayed. I said, God, help us to pray. I talked about prayer room a while ago. I talked about prayer on Saturday night. I'm talking about praying together on Wednesday nights around the altar. Sister Nadine the other night fell down here at the altar and praying for her family. I say, praise God. I want to see more and more of that. As we wait, let's pray. Amen. That's what they were doing. They were waiting, but they were praying. And they were seeking God and waiting for God to move. And God said, I will. God made a promise to his people. He said, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. I believe God meant what he's saying. I believe God still do what he said he'd do. But he's looking for a people that will confess and turn from sin and let God have his way and pray. And I'm talking about praying right now, because if we ever get to praying right, some other things will happen right. You can't pray very long until you see your own sin. You can't pray very long before you begin to realize what you need. You can't pray very long and really get a hold of God unless God begins to get a hold of you. And then when that begins to happen, there's some good things about to happen
when the hope of heaven about to be opened up? Hey, about to some good things begin to take place. I say hallelujah. They proved to God they wanted it. God said, I'm going to send him. And they just said, we're going to wait and pray while they're doing so. But then when he came, hallelujah, they proved to the world they had him. Amen. They proved the world is right. The Holy Spirit did come. That same man, now listen, that same man that denied Jesus, said, I don't know him, even cursed, and said, I don't know him, cowed down before some maids out there, and Jesus out and just denied that he knew him. The same man, after he got right with God and the power of God came, he got up on the day of Pentecost, faced the whole crowd, and preached Jesus Christ to them, and 3,000 people got saved. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, amen, the world couldn't question that. There was people there from everywhere, and they all understood them in their own language. God did what he said he'd do. It wasn't a matter God could let somebody speak in some other tongue. It was a matter they touched their ears, they could hear. Amen. That's what the Bible said. They all heard in their own language. I'm glad, hallelujah, God can take the same word of God and speak to somebody's heart over here that's lost, somebody over here that's out of the will of God, somebody over here that he's trying to call to preach, somebody over here that he's trying to get to go witness somebody. He can take the same message, let him hear the same message, and do the work that needs to be done in their heart and do that. Why does he do that? How can he do that? Because he's God. And because he's able to do that, that can needs to be done, and he wants to do. Amen. And so and he preached, and the power of God came, and 3,000 people got saved. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad for that. I read over there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, and they took Apostle Peter and John, and they took them in and said, and they looked at them, and they beheld them, and they realized they were unlearned and ignorant. I didn't mean they're dumb, but they wasn't schooled in the world's schooling. And said they realized they was unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I say hallelujah. It doesn't make any difference whether you're real educated or not well educated. If you've been with Jesus and the power of God's there, hey, something can happen. Amen. And I'm not against education. I'm not against learning. If you can learn something, learn it. And if it'll help you, help you. But I'm telling you, all the learning in the books and all the books you can read and all the help you can get is useless unless there's a touch of God on it and power of God comes and does something. Amen. And you can be the best singer in the world. Unless God's on it, it's not worth a flip. You can be the best a teacher, you can take a word and read it and study it and do all you can do with it. But unless the Holy Ghost breathes on it and empowers it, makes it alive, it's dead. Amen. I'm glad God can make it alive. And I'm trying to tell you today, our God is able to make it live. And I say praise God for the reality of that power. Amen. I'm glad, Sister Amanda, it's real when the power of God comes in and saves you and births you in the family of God. And you can know you're saved. Amen. And know that you're saved. Hey, I see her sitting over there smiling now. I see her over there with a touch of God on her, and she's excited about it. Paul was testifying. Well, if your wife just got saved, you'd be excited too. Amen. Amen. I say praise God and the power of God. And so here the disciples were, and they proved to the world that the power had come. I see you laugh. And the power of God had come. Some of them, I don't know whether their wife saved or lost. Amen. I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder about it. But anyway, but I'm telling you today, it makes no. If your wife is unsaved, you would be glad if she got saved. Amen. And if she is saved, you'd be glad she is saved. I say praise God. And she may have some other problems. And Brother Kenny's dealing with that in Sunday school. I'll let him do that. I can't handle all that today, but anyway, I'm talking about they proved to God they wanted his power. They proved the world they had his power. But thank God they proved themselves it was worth the power. Amen. They knew it was worth it. Amen. And Romans 8:18, Paul said, I reckon, I like that word. That's an old southern word. That's a good old Virginia country word that I used when I was a boy. I reckon the sufferings this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. He's saying it's worth it all. Amen. It's worth it all. I read over in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 2 or 3. I can't remember which, but Paul was before King Agrippa. And here's what he said. I count myself happy, King Agrippa. Amen. He said, and I count myself happy. I think myself happy. That's what he said. I think myself happy. And I used that one day thinking about, just think you're happy. Amen. Think yourself happy. But what he was saying was, he said, in all my circumstances, in all my bonds, and everything I'm going through, I still think I'm happy. And he's telling him he had something he didn't have and wish he had it. Amen. That he might share it with him. Think about as you wait. Now, I'm still dealing with that word wait. If some battleships are sitting in port and they're waiting to sail, there's war going on, and they're waiting to sail. Sailors are on there, and they're wondering, why are we not sailing? Why are we waiting for? There's usually two or three things they're waiting for. Number one thing is they're waiting for orders from whoever's in charge. Somebody has to give the order to sail. The general, whoever is in charge of that fleet, he's the one that sends down the orders, and the one who's on that ship and says it's time to sail at such a time, set sail. They're waiting for orders. And as we wait for what I'm thinking about today, we're waiting for orders. Amen. And then sometimes they're waiting for supplies. It may be not everything they need. Maybe some food lacking. It may be something lacking there. It may be that God's waiting. And there's some reason why. You say, preacher, you really want to see revival, don't you? I do. I got a hunger in my soul. And there's something going on. But I'm waiting. Think he's waiting. It may be waiting for somebody to get some supply of glory in their soul. It may be God waiting to have somebody getting the word of God, somebody to pray. I don't know. But some supply somewhere, somehow. And it may be that there's somebody that's a crew member that's been in an accident, or they've got sick, and somehow they're not on board yet, and they can't sail till they get on board. They might be the one that navigates. They may be the one that is the gunner. They may be whatever, and they're waiting on that. Everybody needs to get on board. Amen. Amen. If you're going to see that kind of me, if you're going to see that kind of work of God in a church, everybody needs to get on board. Amen. Don't need to be somebody else sick. When I say sick, I mean backslid on God, away from God. When I say backslid, I don't mean lost. I mean out of the will of God, not doing what God wants them to do. And they're just not on board where they need to be. They're not in their position. They're not sitting at their gun where they're supposed to be the gunner. Or else they're not tired. Look at the instruments where they're supposed to be navigating. They're not where they need to be. And so I'm trying to tell you today, we need to see the ships of sail when the orders come and it's right time. Everything's supply. Everything's right. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. I'm still talking about that word wait. We're just waiting. And by the way, Jesus never early and he's never late. When he went to the tomb of Lazarus and he's going to raise him from the dead, Mary and Martha said, if thou had been here, they talk like he's too late. And then the Pharisees and scribes, they didn't think he was the Messiah. They knew Messiah was coming, but they thought he was too early and thought that wasn't him. But Lazarus thought he's right on time. He's the one that needed something. He thought everything's right on time. I say to you, thank God it's right on time. Never early, never late. Everything's on time. Just wait on God. Amen. While we're waiting, we're praying. While we're waiting, we're anticipating. While we're, amen, letting God get us ready, letting God supply up what we need, doing what we need to be done. You say, preacher, I believe in God. Well, devils do too. That's what James 2:19 said. That thou believest in God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They know there's God. I read somewhere where somebody did a survey of different religions, and Christianity was included in it. And just about every one of them, or not just about, all of them, Even though some have claimed, they found somebody. Now, not everybody claimed to be Christian is Christian. But they found some that didn't believe in a literal God, didn't believe in a literal hell or a literal heaven. Or they didn't believe something about that. He's not a devil. When I say devil, I'm talking demons, we usually terminology. When I say that, ain't not a one of them don't believe there's a living God. Ain't not a one of them don't believe in a literal hell and a literal heaven. Ain't not a one of them don't believe that. They know that. And yet people that claim something know about God deny some of that. How sad that is. I'm talking about waiting. Verse 31 again. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall renew their strength. Again, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. Now, I'm not going to get to the three things I want to mention in this today, but I was thinking about this and about Elijah being up on the mount. And there Elijah faced 450 prophets of Baal. He faced a bunch of others that was out of didn't know God. And there he faced all of them. And he did it fiercely. He stood there, stood his ground, let them build an altar, and let them go put their sacrifice on it, and said, go ahead, get the fire down. God that sends fire, let him be God. And so he let him work. And they labored, and they jumped, and they cried, and they cut themselves. And he even sat back and laughed at them and mocked them and said, maybe your God's asleep. Wake him up. Maybe he's gone on a far journey. You got to get his attention. He made light of them. And yet, when he come his turn, he said, pour water on that sacrifice. And do it again. Did it seven times. Water ran all over it, ran down the ditch. And then he bowed his head and prayed, and fire fell and burnt the whole thing up. But then he came off the mount. Jezebel said, I'll get you. And this same man, this same Elijah, went and run down to the wilderness, got on a juniper tree, and said, I'm the only one left. And began to whine, moan, and sat down, went to sleep. But thank God, here's a good part I really wanted to show you. Now, every one of us get down sometimes. You say, preacher, not me. I'm always up. I get out of bed shouting glory. At lunchtime, I'm still shouting glory. I go to bed shouting glory. I wake up in the night, I'm still shouting glory. You probably lie about something else too. Amen. Get out of bed. I'm not always shouting. Well, I'm never shouting glory. If I am, I'm saying, glory, help me. Only way I could shout glory when I get out of bed, my wife's name was Glory. Glory, come and help me. Sometimes I feel better than others, but that be as it may, I'm trying to tell you, we all have our weak times. We all have our down times. We all have discouragements. We all go through those valleys. But here's what I wanted to get to. When he was laying there, he wasn't the only one left. God reserved him thousands more, by 7,000 I believe it was, back there, and taken care of. And he felt like he's the only one. You ever feel like you're the only one left? And he's sitting on that juniper tree, went to sleep. But the good thing, and the thing that touched my heart was that God sent an angel by and touched him and said, rise and eat. And he didn't say, you sorry rascal, what are you doing laying on this tree? Why, you just won a great victory on the mountain. You just had a great time. What are you doing laying down here moaning like this? He didn't say a word to him about that. He just said, I got something for you. I got something for you to have here. You know what he's doing? He's waiting on God. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's times, God, when I'm laying under the juniper tree, God coming by. Instead of chewing me out, he just says, got something for you. Got a nugget for you out of the Word of God. I got some good news for you. Got something to help you. God came by. God helped him. And I say hallelujah. Praise God. John the Baptist was the one that baptized the Lord Jesus. Saw the dove descend, the Holy Ghost descend in the form of a dove and light upon him. He saw this. He heard the voice out of heaven say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He's the one that pointed and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Did you know that same man? That same man, John, Matthew 11:11 said, of men born of women, there's not one risen greater than John the Baptist. That same man got put in jail. And then while he was in jail, he sent some of his disciples to Jesus and said, are you him? Are you him? Are you really him? Hey, you know what happened? He got discouraged somehow. He had already been through and all he'd done, all he'd seen, all he'd heard. He still sent somebody to find out as him. You know what Jesus sent back to him? He didn't send back to him and say, well, you sorry thing. You heard my Father speak. You baptized me. And here you are. No, he didn't send that back to him. He said, you go tell John. You go tell John the lame walk, the deaf hear and the blind see. You go tell John, I'm here. Hallelujah. He's helped him along the way. I don't know what your situation is today. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you need. But I just know one thing. God will help those that wait upon God. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, help us here today. Lord, there's folk in this house that need help. Father, we all need you. I pray in Jesus' name, Father, as we think about what we'd love to see, what we long to see. But Father, help us to see wait upon the Lord. He shall renew your strength. There may be some here today that's weak spiritually. Lord, they need to come and get before God. Say, Lord, help me. I'm waiting for your strength. And Father, you showed us in this word that you have the power. Father, some discouraged, some somewhere, some of the juniper tree, or as it were in jail, whatever it is, they're discouraged. They're disappointed. They need some help. And I pray today, Father, they come and let you help them. They some today, they're out there in the wilderness, wandering. They've never, or not now anyway, in Canaan, living in joy. They need that joy restored. I pray you speak to their heart. Then they some that they've never been saved. Lord, they're lost. They're down in Egypt bondage. They're in sin. They need Jesus Christ to save them. And I pray the Holy Spirit bring conviction and draw them. They may repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I pray, Father, in this invitation, have your way. Magnify yourself. You get glory. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.